The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Good morning to you, Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well, producer number 5 and 8. Parlay, interesting show today, man. How you doing? You good?
Yeah, we're all in one piece.
All
barely.
In one piece. Was there a shot at you not being in one piece?
Did something happen? We have three people in the studio that all need to be in one piece.
We do.
Yeah.
Here's the thing on the show today. We have a real live professional team owner on the show today. You may know him as Preston Johnson. He will join us today after the biggest upset in global sports yesterday, authored by the team he owns. Crawley Town, baby. 9-1 dog got it done against Fulham yesterday. Jeff, you were the first person who texted me about it, too. I was doing some stuff. You're like, are you watching this? I don't know if you were watching it, but you may have made aware of it.
I don't even know where in the U.S. it'd be on TV unless ESPN Plus had it. But no, it popped up on the Twitter feed. And again, good on Crawley Town taking full advantage of the format that is the Carabao Cup.
By the way, I was like, hey, Preston, let's talk about Crawley Town. And all Preston wants to talk about is college football when he's with us. So he just wants to steer it because he's got other things on his mind. So he wants to talk college football with us as well. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke will join us. Much to talk about with him. We're going to go off the rails with Jason today. 2 years before the election, I think it's time to just throw out some numbers. Remember, on this show, we actually talk about such things. Apolitically speaking, they are available in Ontario. You can bet on our election if you're in Canada. And, of course, the Game Plus audience should know about those numbers and get Jason's thoughts on that. Brady Cannon, the difference between the Tour Championship this week and, of course, winning the FedEx Cup. Got to know the difference between those two markets. We've talked about it for a few weeks now. Get Brady's thoughts on the tournament this weekend to close out the golf season. And, oh, no need to drink coffee this morning. John Legace is joining us momentarily. Instant offense from Legace. Not only baseball picks from Legace today, though. He's working on some newfangled NFL football thing where he's trying to isolate the value of half points and points and trying to give you insights on whether to play teams, say, against the spread or on the money line kind of thing. I don't know. I haven't heard much about it. We'll see what Legace has to say about it. He's working on a new tool there. Couple things here at the top, though. One, no tennis picks today. Yesterday, a 2-0. The day before that, we hit our pick. And then Sunday, we had a championship on Caroline Garcia. So a nice little mini here run just prior to the U.S. Open on the hard courts. Nothing wrong with that. But I have nothing today. And again, these are these sort of squirrely tournaments right before the U.S. Open. And I mentioned that might happen this week, that it might be sparse. And so nothing today. Looked at all the numbers. There was nothing really playable. The draw is on Thursday. I am not doing one U.S. Open podcast of my own, Jeff. I'm also on a second and a third. So it's like three U.S. Open pods on Thursday after the draw, which should be awesome. But as far as what I have in the pocket with futures, just as a reminder, and we've talked about these over time, again, from the night that Ash Barty retired, Iga at 7-1, although she went all the way down to 2-1 and has come a little further up now. With her concerns about the tennis balls and the fact that she's lost some matches after a 37-match win streak. I have the 7-1. You can't get the 7-1 on her now. But it is a wide-open field, so I did have that in pocket. And usually, as you know on this show, I don't do multiple futures on tournaments in tennis. It's just one lady, maybe, and even one on the men's side at most. This time, though, because of that sort of concern with Iga and the tennis balls, I did add Beatrice Haddad-Maia a few weeks back, as you may recall, at 50-1. And Xinwen Zheng also at 55-1 on the ladies' side, Brazilian and Chinese, who have been really good on the hard courts, but have really had great seasons, period. Zheng being a 19-year-old sensation. So I added those. And then you may recall the Nick Kyrgios caper where, well, when he was 12-1, I grabbed him at 12-1, and there was a stray 30-1 across town at the Wynn. That one was a severely limited bet, though. They're very upfront about their business model. They're like, well, we can only give you this on it. So 30-1 on Kyrgios. Again, just a flyer on a tournament that at this point does not look like it will have Novak Djokovic due to vaccination rules. Let that marinate for what it is at this point. So it does not look like it will include Novak Djokovic. On to baseball yesterday. This is what we were texting about gambling-wise last night, was about the fact that the L.A. Dodgers, kryptonite to your chances to win a National League Cy Young. This was from, I want to get the credit proper here on this, but this was written by Dodger Insider, actually, the Dodger Insider account. It said the Dodgers added 0.36 onto Corbin Burns' ERA last night after adding 0.27 onto Sandy Alcantara's this past Sunday. The Dodgers just absolutely get wreck on both of those would-be Cy Young candidates. Alcantara still the favorite at about minus 350 to win the National League Cy Young Award. But last night with against Burns and the Dodgers' just absolute 10-1 shellacking of the Brewers, Burns, Corbin Burns' line, he's also a short shot to win this, among the short shots. Corbin Burns, 3.2, and he's 3 2/3, giving up 7 earned runs on 6 hits. 81 pitches through 3 2/3. Is that good, Jeff? I don't think that's good. And then on Sunday, again, the Alcantara versus the Dodgers in the Dodgers 10-3 win. And we talked about yesterday with Mark Borchard just how the Dodgers' run line numbers are just – doesn't matter that this team is always favored. They cover the run line night after night after night, and it's like near 30 units now if you had bet the Dodgers on the run line each and every game this season, a sort of bizarro exercise. But Alcantara, very similar line on Sunday, 3 2/3. Gave up 6 earned runs on 10 hits, 89 pitches deep on Sunday. Which brings up the Tony Gonsolin factor. And you may recall on this show, remember when Gonsolin was 11-0 on the season? And we were saying, this reminds us of that Jack Flaherty thing from last year, where we love analytics on this show, right? We're all about how win-loss record doesn't mean anything. And we were talking FIP and BABIP and all this stuff on this show, you know, and on the Betting Dork and Beating the Book podcast years and years ago. So this is nothing new for us. But we sort of brought up the fact that maybe the pendulum swung too much on win-loss records. And then if you actually put together this unbelievable win-loss record, maybe it should give you some consideration for a Cy Young. Now, here's the thing. Julio Urias won 20 games last year, went 20-3, didn't even make a blip. So when Gonsolin was 11-0, we're like, well, this is something to watch. Like, I mean, at some point, you have to give somebody a Cy Young if their record is just obscene. It's got to be better than 20-3, apparently, though. Anyway, Gonsolin lost a game, and now he's reeled off 5 more. 16-1. So as Alcantara and Burns get shelled by the Dodgers, Gonsolin, and this is the most amazing stat. Forget the fact that he's 16-1, if we can for a moment. This is from Stats by Stats. Tony Gonsolin has now had 12 starts this year where he allowed 3 hits or fewer while earning the win. Think about that. That's unbelievable. That's the most by any MLB pitcher in a single season in the modern era. Let me repeat that. 12 starts this year where he allowed 3 hits or fewer while earning the win. Sheer domination. He's 8-1 now, or thereabouts. You always got to shop around for this. We talked about him when he was way longer, when he was 11-0. I don't know if people grabbed him then or not. Would you play him at 8-1, Jeff? Before I can even finish the sentence, you can see Jeff's face. Show Jeff Parlay's face, ladies and gentlemen. Would you? 8-1? Anything?
I have no clue. This race still doesn't make much sense to me because Alcantara has been so much better than everyone else. Then he gets blasted by a team that he has not pitched well against historically. He's not pitched well against the Dodgers at any point in his career. And then you look at the run of teams he's going to have to face, where Jason pointed this out to us, Jason Weingarten, that is, pointed this out to us probably 3 weeks ago, that Alcantara was going to have this run where he goes Dodgers, Dodgers,
yeah,
Braves, Phillies.
He did, yeah.
And it could end up adding almost a whole run to his ERA when it's all said and done if he gets hit up by these. Again, you're talking about the Dodgers and the Braves, probably the two best offenses in the NL, and then the Phillies, who, by the way, Bryce Harper hit 2 home runs in his rehab start in AAA last night. He looks ready to go again. So, I don't know if Gonsolin's the bet. I still don't know. The problem is, if it's not Alcantara and it's not Gonsolin, then who in the world is it at this point? So I guess at 8-1, you take a shot, but I don't know.
Is Julio Urias, is he invisible, by the way?
Yeah, yes, he is.
I just
but Gonsolin has been better than him this year.
Okay, but over a two-year arc, has anybody been better on the Dodgers than Urias? While everybody else gets the publicity, right? Gonsolin, Bueller, Kershaw, you name it. There's probably some other names in there I'm forgetting. He's probably their best pitcher over 2 years. By the way, didn't he get the last out in the World Series as well? Throw that in the mix. I know, these aren't things you vote on the Cy Young, but I'm just making a point that he went 20-3 last year. And if you look at the numbers, Gonsolin, yes, leads the NL in ERA, leads the NL in WHIP. His WHIP is 0.86. Gonsolin. Urias, 0.96. Gonsolin's ERA, 2.10. Urias, 2.36. But if you look at the advanced stats, yes, Urias has been fortunate with a 244 BABIP. You know what Gonsolin's BABIP is? 201. That's bordering on the absurd. You have been unbelievably fortunate. And then it gets to the question of how many voters care about such things. Right? Voters who listen to this show, oh, they care. But how many voters really care? By the way, Gonsolin is the royal flush of good fortune. A 201 BABIP, an 84.3% strand rate. And what is his fly ball rate? Just something ridiculous also. Where, again, all the wall scrapers are going in his favor. So, yeah, Gonsolin 8-1. Interesting bet. Urias 80-1. He doesn't even exist. Oh, baseball awards. So much fun. Legesa next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. I've timed it. And stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. That won't take you but a few minutes. Timed that, too. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. We were talking about Pujols yesterday. Albert Pujols, 693. Three behind A-Rod for fourth all-time on the all-time home run list. Seven behind, of course, the magic number, seven away from the magic number of 700. A mark that only Barry Lamar Bonds, Henry Aaron, and Babe Ruth have achieved, of course. 762, 755, 714. Hallowed numbers in the sport of baseball. 693 for Pujols. And now William Hill has put out a creative prop where you can bet on this now. What he ends up with. What do you
got? It's going to be very fun when Pujols reaches 700 and then does not have another hit the rest of the season. I wonder why that would happen. Regardless.
What are you suggesting, Jeffrey?
Use context clues on that.
And now for Jeffrey Parle's suggestions.
Yes. So here you go. Albert Pujols' career home run that he has at the end of this season is the prop.
What he finishes with at the end of this season.
Yes.
So if he still plays on, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just at the end of the year. 694 to 696 is currently the favorite at plus 120. 697 to 699 is plus 140. 701 or more at 9-1. Exactly 700, 12-1. And then 690 to 693, so he does not hit anymore, is at 18-1.
Mm. Well,
doesn't that exactly 700 intrigue you, Gil?
I don't know, man. That 701 and more actually intrigues me. 701 feels like the number he ends up with. Quarter of the baseball season remaining. And what was that stat we were talking about off air yesterday? Was it OPS? Was that what you were talking about?
He has the highest OPS in baseball since the All-Star break.
Think
and
about
it's not
that.
Close.
Think
either.
About that, boys and girls. Albert Pujols has the highest OPS by a mile. Huh. What were you suggesting earlier, Jeff? Did you want to go back to that?
I think I said enough.
Okay. I think you did too. John Legesa, everybody, for the Mayo Media Network. He might have some thoughts on this. And of course, The Athletic. Oh, he wore a button down today. Legesa, instant offense. How you doing, man?
Speaking of swole, Yeah. Listen, Albert Pujols, I don't know, making lots of people at AARP really, really proud right now. I would say this. You want to probably look for their schedule against lefties if you're seriously going to be looking at this, because that is truly at the center of it. I'm looking at it right now. He is destroying left-handed pitching. He has a 400 batting average on the season, 10 of the 14 home runs that he's hit. He has a 185 batting average against righties. Last time I checked, that's the majority of pitchers. So it's really a split thing. If you see him lined up, get ready to queue up those home run props.
Let's start with baseball. We'll get to football with you. But what do you have today? What did you bet?
All right. You know, it actually came with a preface, right? I made sure to text you that I didn't want to bring too much of a donkey aspect to your show. There's this is where the sharps come for sharp information.
Donkey disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
I'm going to try and do my best to pitch just why, and I'll make sure I get the plays out. I know sometimes I don't always do that the best I can. So we're looking at the Cardinals and the Dodgers to both win. I will pair money line parlays when they add up to over 100, you know, plus 100, which we do. We have plus 110. I do think, according to my model, these are both run line plays. But the problem is the odds, Gil. So if you recommend two run line covers in baseball and they're minus 115, minus 120, if you only hit one out of two, you're still a loser, providing you bet an equal amount. So you need to hit two to profit. So why don't we just not be greedy, play the money line, lower the risk, and play for better odds? And I've had success with that. Again, I know there has been some pushback in the industry. So let's get into it really quick. It's a landslide. The Cardinals have Michaelis up against Farrell. Very rarely do you see a call-up if they're this kind of performance in AAA. Farrell, 60 innings this year in AAA, not nothing. 5 ERA, 1.5 whip, 11% walk, almost 2 home runs per 9. His last 5 games, this is what earned him the promotion. 16 innings, 14 earned runs, 8 walks, 6 home runs. He throws a 91-mile-an-hour fastball 40% of the time, exactly how the Cardinals butter their bread. So keep that in mind. We're going to look for a Cardinals win and I think a possible cover. But I also want to get into Lars Nootbaar. Sometimes you feel like a Nootbaar, sometimes you don't. Last 30 days, this guy's been phenomenal. 73 plate appearance against righties, 56 hard hit, 15 barrels. So, you know, that ain't nothing, like they'd say where I come from. 373 BAA, 353 ISO, that's extra base hit rate. So he is viable for over 1.5 total base prop. Plus he leads off. We know we love that. So that's one side of it. Then we're going to flip it over to the Dodgers, the most trolley Dodgers from Hollywood, up against Adrian Hauser, who I know has been pretty good, but you really got to be careful. He suffered spotting that sinker to lefties. We know he's a contact pitcher, but 23 line drive, 40 hard hit, better than 370 xWOBA, but to lefties, they have a 311 batting average against him on the season and 5 home runs. He's overusing the sinker, so give me Freddie Freeman, who we know is a GOAT, 40 plate appearances against righties, 48 hard hit, a 441 batting average. So we're going to pair two pairings here, people. Give me the Cardinals and the Dodgers. They both win. Pair them for a plus 110. And I really like these hitter props. We've seen a degradation in production. I don't know if you've noticed this, Gil. The American League hung a 50-year record low OPS this month. So goodbye, bouncy ball. Welcome back, mush ball. Stop chasing home runs. Those odds are not worth it. We can go after singles. So Freeman and Nootbaar are both going to be hitting first or second. Both get a single. That total base hit prop is at plus 100. So, you know, I love the plus odds. I think the Cardinals and the Dodgers both get it done on the back of Freeman and Nootbaar to both get a single. We clean up those four outcomes. We had a really nice day.
Yeah, Borchard was talking about the run production in the month of August just way down this year. So, you're right. Juiced ball goodbye at this point. All right, we were just throwing about, I want to get your thoughts on this because I know we don't usually talk awards with you, but we're just talking before the break about the Dodgers just really crushing the ERA of both Sandy Alcantara and then Corbin Burns last night in a three-day span. Alcantara is still the prohibitive favorite, minus 350, but it is Gonsolin at 8-1 now. I'm just curious, would you take a flyer on a guy who is 16-1, who leads the National League in both ERA and WHIP, and has the benefit of not having to face the Dodgers lineup, really, quite frankly?
Yeah, and this is something I've had to kind of backpedal on. I didn't think we'd see this kind of continuation from him. Again, I never thought he was bad. I just thought he was pitching over his skis a little bit. Well, you know what? The voters look at ERA. They look at WHIP. Even if, you know, I'm quoting Sierra and classified run average, no one really cares about that. I understand that. So, yes, Gonsolin has the brand name. He has the surface statistics. They're also going to probably get him the wins that you need. So, yes, plus those all-important injuries are always lingering. I love Sandy, but he's vulnerable to them like anyone else, and we always have to think if we're placing futures bets, how might the landscape change with something like an injury, which is a very, you know, immediate impact? And I think Gonsolin then kind of shoots way up the board. Burns, I think, would still have the edge, but the odds are there. So I hate to offer pinches, but yeah, if you're going to take a stab, the math is there. The math certainly is there.
Though, again, with the advanced stats, again, Gonsolin should be an accident waiting to happen based on his BABIP, based on his strand rate, based on his home run to fly ball rate. You'd think at some point he would just blow up. So we'll see on that.
Look at Robbie Ray last year, right? Yeah. Robbie Ray, it wasn't necessarily me, but a lot of people in the short people in the industry were saying, well, 90% left on base rate, this won't stick. And it did for at least the season, and that's what gets you the award. So if you're looking to bet the Dodgers and Gonsolin, I do think there's a little bit of value there, but realistically speaking, I don't think it's his award to lose by any measure.
Okay, preseason football. Give us your philosophy on that. Do you bet preseason football? Or how do you exploit preseason football, maybe is the way to say it.
Well, I probably exploit it by just staying out of the way because I don't like the low fruit analysis of, oh, well, it's exhibition, therefore there's nothing there. I do not subscribe to that. I do believe, because it is niche and a bit unpredictable as far as player usage, that unless you're going to do the due diligence, don't bother. So I think that's the camp I'm in. I think it can be viable if you put the work in, and like anything else, if you backtested it, you're within a strict discipline plan, I think it can fit. I would no way say preseason football somehow falls out of the realm of gambling properly, you know, responsibly, I should say. But I don't put in that work. I watch it, and sometimes I'm just scratching my head. I think some of these coaches think they're General Patton and don't want to give away state secrets. So you're seeing things they wouldn't normally do that are out of character. They're experimenting. So I'd like to stay in line with wins. I'm not really interested.
By exploiting it, I guess what I meant was, do you then sort of take an overreaction into perhaps a player overreaction into week one and then go on an under spree, right?
Yeah. Now you're speaking my language. How I like to use the preseason is I like to let these exciting GIFs and Twitter clips have people in the fantasy industry push up all the player props, and I'll be there the afternoon of opening kickoff to just smash all the unders on bad teams. Give me, you know, the Pierce rushing under, give me all the Giants unders, give me the Texans unders. It's just what's going to be, people. I'm sorry, but again, with injuries, unders and player props are the way to go.
Okay, other side, John Legace, a new NFL tool, the value of points. What should steer you towards money lines or spread bets? We'll get into all that with him next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The College Football Guide is out now. I think you know that. What you might not know is that the NFL Guide drops tomorrow. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of every team, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well, as is John Legace. You can follow him on Twitter at MLB Moving Average. That's MLB Moving AVG. But John, you are sort of transitioning into football, correct, this year?
Oh, yes. I was very blessed with an opportunity. I'll be taking over for Dave Gonis's speculation article at The Athletic. So you can look out for that. I got picked up. We'll be doing a football show on Mayo Media Net where, you know, I do prop bets and handicapping. I build some cool sheets. But then also this, my new baby that we're unveiling, Gil, and I know it had at least one eyebrow raised. Tell me not, man.
Are you talking about my eyebrow raised? Is that what you're? I just wanted
at least.
Yeah, I just
at
wanted
least one.
Yeah, I just wanted you to, in discussing it, flesh it out in a way that made sense to the listener. So let's sort of dive into this, by the way, which is you are essentially trying to isolate the value of points, and by extension, trying to sort of steer people towards, should you best bet a team on a money line? Should you bet them against the spread? I'll give you the floor, because this is something that is, you know, for those of us who have been around sports betting for years and years and years, this reminds me of the great Elihu Feustel, who had a book called Conquering Risk so many years ago, where he essentially culled together every result of every football game and then put together at the back of his book, which is worth the purchase of the book alone, by the way, a money line conversion chart. You've done it a little differently. Explain.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, everyone owes you a debt of gratitude for making sure that we got this where it's digestible and you didn't just let the Tasmanian devil out of the cage. Because as simple as it is, and a lot of my great ideas truly are brilliant in their simplicity, it can be a little bit hard to explain because there's so many moving pieces. But you and I think we really hashed this out. Let's do the brass tacks, just an introduction with wholly data-backed theory that we can prove, right? So again, Gil alluded to it. Not all points are created equal. Again, this is something that we can prove. We see this evidenced often. More than one game will have a 3-point spread, but they will have different money lines. Therefore, those points have different values. Again, this is objective mathematics. Whether or not it's worth it, those are all different exercises. The point of this, is one to identify that not all points are created equal. And then again, we can expand on that a bit to kind of challenge the disparity. I think that's the most important thing. Meaning, if all points are not created equal, but it's not an actionable difference, then we really wouldn't care about that. Football betting is a reflection of a very fluid market that has a price-finding mechanism, right? An inherent true market-making is part of it, which is why, again, to these numbers, you don't want to marry yourself to a cent or even a dollar because it's very fluid, it's very malleable. However, to the disparity I mentioned, when we're talking 4 to 500% disparities, that is actionable, Gil. And now we could build on it a bit.
Let's give an example.
Some points on this board.
Let's give an example.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we use the green?
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah, let's use the Green Bay example because I think that'll convey better what you're talking about here.
Well, I want to pivot because Green Bay, I think we're going to put in the next basket because that line moved and it's no longer where it was yesterday. So you and I actually identified a value before it moved. Uh-oh, I think they call that CLV or just being sharp. The move that we want to look at, people, now is Cleveland, okay, because that one remained stagnant. This is the best way to explain it. Cleveland is plus 1.5 point underdogs.
Talking about against the Panthers week one.
Correct.
Okay.
The money line is plus 100. Therefore, that point, it's only 1.5, is less than $7 a point. That's an offer, people. Why would you pay that? This is like the definitive value exercise here. It's just not worth it. At $6.60 a point, you take the spread line, okay? Then there are the inverses, where those points are going off at $35, $40 a piece. So if you have an underdog like Houston, let's say, 9-point dogs plus 285. Again, this is the same board, the same week, the same sport. So you and I, Gil, we're not telling people exactly what to do just yet. It's just that there is a missing piece of cost per point analysis that's actionable and must be done. So in short, people, right, before we kind of expand, hopefully in the future we will, and I hope people begin to view games under this lens, because you and I will be testing this. And again, after 24 hours of testing, we've already had our first hit. You mentioned Green Bay. Green Bay was in this position yesterday at 2 points. That point was $8. It was too cheap. You wake up this morning, Gil, the line moved to 2.5. The cost per point analysis has now shifted over 12, which is in the average range. You'll see I'm be putting out an image every day. I'm trying to make it as easy and digestible as possible.
Yeah.
Again, remember the main focus that Gil mentioned is this is to identify when the execution should be money line versus the spread based on the cost of the points. And when you understand that, you see where the Cleveland game just is not worth it. the offer for those points is not sufficient. When it gets to 30 points, now you have an offer. They're offering you $38 to get behind Houston. We may talk about more advanced ways to.
Yeah, I just want to step in. I just want to step in. Yeah, because most people who are listening to this are going to, their heads are like, what is he talking about? My God, I can't even follow what he's talking about. Although I think while thinking that, they're probably like, but I get he knows what he's talking about. I just can't sort of grasp.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just want to. I don't mean it like that. It's tough to convey.
No, you're doing it right.
It's tough to convey on radio. I guess the other piece of that I want to sort of say, and this I just want to give a shout out to what you're trying to do here is. In addition to isolating the value of the points and steering you towards, you know, whether you should do money line, whether you should do against the spread. And by the way, it doesn't have to be black and white, right? It can be a portion of it on that, a portion of it on the other.
Correct.
The other aspect of this, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that is perhaps even more fascinating is, let's say it's not triggering a bet either way at the moment, but it is indicating to you where the line might go as well. Expand upon that if you will.
Yeah, we nailed that yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We nailed that yesterday, and I have the time stamped text with you to prove it. I was telling you yesterday that Green Bay at +2 was just too cheap. Those points were less than $8, similar to the way I just brought up Cleveland. So what can you expect? Expect the Cleveland line to move, people. Expect it to move. You can either expect that to go to +1. Or expect the money line to move. Again, just think about it. It's really kind of intuitive at its base. You really just want to be really cheap. Be really, really cheap. What are those points costing you? Because again, it's not standardized. You mentioned my favorite execution method, which is to then use like a hybrid. Because again, this is not trying to predict the future. This is not, John has now broken NFL betting. But I have taken a pretty large flashlight and put it on the board. You must do this math. You must not just automatically bet spreads or just automatically bet money lines, because there is true value to be had. And as a professional bettor, profits made on the margins, and it's saving a bip here and a bip there that's going to get you in the black in the long term.
John, for those interested in learning more about this, where would they go?
Yeah, I thank you so much. That's the best way. This is really still kind of embryonic, but it's going to get better. It's going to get sharper. And I think when people see the graphic, a lot of times that visualization just gels it, and it's almost like the Matrix. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So I really implore everybody to take the time, sink your teeth into this. It'll just take a couple minutes. I have a show starting on opening day, or the day before, September 7th on Mayo Media Net on YouTube, 3 times a week. It's going to be a fascinating show, if you can't tell from the speed that I talk. And this is going to be at the center of it. We'll be covering every game under this lens and hopefully tracking it through the week. And you're going to start seeing results just like we did with Green Bay. We could have easily beaten that line. And that's a big deal, Gil, being in front of not just a price, but a line movement. And again, we have it. I may have to tweet that out, because if I was telling you the value was Green Bay -2, well, now it's -2.5. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, without question, and especially in the National Football League as well.
Yeah.
John, appreciate it very much. I love that you're always thinking. You're always doing stuff, and good luck transition from baseball to football. We always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Love you, man. Thank you.
Legesa at MLB Moving AVG. Preston Johnson on the other side, coming off a huge upset.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget, you can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any Major League Baseball game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of the offer all season long. Just opt in to the one-game parlay insurance promotion Then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. If you miss only one leg on your wagers, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, a little more than a half decade ago, me and this gentleman and I did a college football podcast. I believe we charged $1 per college football bowl podcast. We did like 18 of them, three different ones. We charged $1. And now, 6 years later, one of us parlayed a genius NFT idea exploiting CryptoPunks into ownership of a League Two British soccer team. The other one of us still podcasts from the D. I'll let you decide who's who. It's Preston Johnson, everybody. How you doing?
I am fantastic. It's so good to be back on. How are you guys?
Oh, man, we're great. Thank you for coming on. Obviously, wanted to reach out yesterday because the biggest upset in global sports yesterday was your team, the team that you own, Crawley Town, and to be specific, a 2-0, let's use the proper term for zero, a 2-0 nice. Win over Fulham. Fulham, a Premier League team, the Carabao Cup second round, 83 places to be exact, separating the two sides. But it is the League Two underdogs, Crawley Town, Preston's team, gets it done. How big of a thrill was that for you?
It was amazing. And in fact, would have been more so if I was there. I think the reason we won is I had just left after spending the last 3 weeks in Crawley in London. And I just got back home, and so then they took care of business right when I left. The energy just from fans, like DMs on Twitter and Discord and everything was fantastic. And honestly, you could just see it in the players' faces too, which was something after a few league losses in a row we needed. And just to kind of go into, like, I guess I saw someone sent me a message that they got as high as 11-1 on Crawley to advance in that game. I think after lineups were announced, the odds dropped to about plus 725 or so near close. So obviously Fulham wasn't playing their top tier first squad. It was a mix of some of their better, younger, and experienced players and a few of their older experienced players. But regardless, we were pretty big underdogs. It was nice to pull it off. And from an actual business standpoint, you know, going into round three, which there's a draw late tonight on who we'll face, but there's a pretty decent shot we get another Premier League level club and a potential big payday if we end up splitting gate receipts or ticket sales in a match away at, say, Manchester United or Arsenal or something like that. So we're crossing our fingers. Hopefully we get lucky tonight and we can keep moving along.
Man, we are all rooting for you, that's for sure. And the pitch was rushed yesterday. It was like a whole thing. You were all about that. But I want to ask you sincerely, mm-hmm. before this win, I believe 0-4-1 was the record, if I'm not mistaken, for Crawley Town.
Yeah, for the league games, and then we actually had to beat a higher level club in round one of the EFL Cup to even play Fulham. So we've won the two games in the cup, but league games we just have one result with the one draw. Yeah.
So listen, let's be honest. How much pressure did that take off you yesterday? Like, how have you dealt with sort of the ups and downs of all of this?
Ooh, all right. So, I mean, it was a big win. When I said we needed that win, I quite meant it. The attitude, not only from the players and the coaching staff, but even the fans. One thing that we've realized, which you guys are accustomed to with followers on Twitter, is how reactive they are to a small sample or to one game, right?
Oh,
if you're
yeah.
doing well, they love you. If you're not doing well and you're losing games, then the world is ending. And so there was actually a particular game I can kind of tell. I'll share a story. We played Northampton Town about a week ago, and we lost late in the 93rd minute, like in an improbable fashion. And it was like the fans were letting everyone know, they were booing at the end, you know, like it was rough. We should have won the game. We won the XG battle by almost double the opponent, but we still lost the game. So I'm driving home that night. I was like really starting to feel it, because I think, to kind of put this into perspective or context with betting, like we're playing it at stakes that I just really haven't played at before, in the sense that this club is like the livelihoods of so many local fans. They literally work so that they can eat, sleep, and go to Crawley Town football games. That's their life. And then on top of that, I have like NFT holders. I have stakeholders or investors in our group. And I felt like I was letting everybody down. So I was like driving home back to the flat that we have there locally. And for me, I was in a state that this like wasn't super healthy. And my personal outlet has always been writing music. And so I went home, I was up till 3:30 AM. I just like wrote some music for a few hours.
Wow.
Right after that game. And it was actually really helpful. I woke up the next day after some sleep and I didn't feel completely better. I wasn't chipper all of a sudden, but I did feel better. But it reminded me of like those Saturdays on college football when I'd go like 3-11 and you just hated yourself at night.
Yes.
And you need to find something like whatever your outlet is, whatever it may be, that just mentally kind of refreshes and helps you kind of move past it instead of betting the Hawaii game at midnight that you weren't going to bet otherwise, right? Which is just more suboptimal decision making. So for me, that was a moment where I really kind of was feeling it. Like it's really the pressure is there, and especially when I'm there in person, it's like another level being in the stadium, being in the crowd, and getting the response, getting the eyeballs, people looking at you. Because if we're not winning, ultimately that comes down on me. And so it was a good reminder, kind of correlating it to my betting days that. The mental health aspect's really important just in all veins of life and, trying to get through it. And it's something that's brand new for me on this front.
Yeah. And is there an element of that is because you are not from there? Is that part of the equation as well, where the pressure ratchets up, you think?
That could be. I mean, we definitely have heard it in the press and just in general about how our group's mostly American, although when they call us an American crypto group, there's a few people in our group that are from London, for example. It's not completely American, but I would say the skepticism is higher because of that, especially because I am American and I'm one of the more like front-facing, directors there in the city, in the town, at the club, in the office, doing media. And so I would say that probably does increase it a little bit. But ultimately, the fans just don't care. If you get results, like we saw last night, then everything changes. So hopefully we can carry the mojo over into Saturday. We go into Rochdale, is the team at the bottom of the table, and we need to get 3 points there. And then I think we'll buy us some time to kind of settle in.
If you don't get the 3 points there, that'll make them forget about this one real quick, won't they?
Exactly.
That's kind of how it works. What's so funny is that when we were texting yesterday, by the way, Preston, I could not be like, if someone said to me, like, if this would happen to anybody, who would you want it to happen for? You're the guy, man. Like, I'm so happy for all your success. But what's funny is after this win, and this is so, this is so on brand for your personality. You're like, yeah, I mean, we can talk about it, but can we talk about college football a little bit? Because I'm like not going to really be available. You love betting college football, but now you're often going to be an ocean away. You try to spend as much time here as possible. So what's your dilemma? You want to still bet it? Is that what's going on here? And you just don't have the insight and the information?
Yeah, I don't have any bandwidth to actually do my own college football numbers this year. So if you have any insights or anyone that's worth betting, tailing, whatever, like I want to have action. I'm actually going to a good friend of mine's bachelor party in 2 weekends, week one of NFL, but there'll be some college football games that weekend too. I have no clue what I'm going to be betting. I literally have done zero work. So if there's anything that you've gained in the last month or two of doing interviews, feel free to share.
Well, let's bring in parlay. Let's crowdsource this real quick. Anecdotally, all of our guests together, by the way, Preston, Jeff Preston, I am betting. I have not bet it yet, but I intend to bet Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State at for the Heisman at around 22-1. Obviously, his quarterback C.J. Stroud is the short shot for that, but I'm going to go a different way. Ohio State largely considered a cut above even Alabama. There are ways to bet Alabama versus Ohio State for the championship itself. What was the number on that?
I want to say it was +350.
+350.
It was a good number.
Anything from week zero and week one you like here?
Oh, weeks. week zero,
already.
I'm probably going to end up, like I said, I'll probably end up betting Northwestern, even though I think Nebraska is much more talented than them. That's just a fade of common Nebraska idiocy in this era.
But take the points,
Other than that, Illinois, I don't want to lay 10 with Illinois, even though I think Wyoming's terrible. Week zero is tough, Gil.
Yeah, week zero is tough. The soft launch, and then it gets serious next week.
Is Northwestern like a decent buy low in theory just because they underachieved so heavily last year, or not? Are they still bad?
In theory. I won't like go crazy on that. By the way, that game's in Dublin. You should probably go attend that game.
Oh, wow. I'll be there, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do that. So whenever you need, you just text, and we'll throw you the collective insights of Dr. Bob and everybody else week by week, and you go for there. Preston,
sounds good, Gil.
Great seeing you, man. Appreciate it. Preston Johnson, everybody, at Sports Cheetah, still has that as his Twitter handle. Jason Weingarten, next.